Thank you, and thank you all for coming so late in the afternoon. And I just wanted to acknowledge my colleagues. I work as part of a team, and one of my colleagues is here today. And I also wanted to acknowledge that we work closely with the Maine CDC and the Healthy Maine Partnership Initiative, which we call the HMPs, and also the Partnership for Tobacco-Free Maine. And I just wanted to let folks know that the HMP evaluation team is funded through the Fund for a Healthy Maine, which is a portion of the Master Settlement Agreement that Maine receives. And then just to give you a background, in case some of you aren't familiar with Maine, it is a beautiful state, but it's also a very rural and poor state, which can make implementing community interventions and evaluating them a little bit more challenging. Also, I just wanted to give you some background. Maine's unique in that we don't have any county health departments, public health departments. We do have two city health departments. So as a result of the Master Settlement Agreement, some of that funding was able to be put into a local public health infrastructure, which again we call the Healthy Maine Partnerships. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today. And at the time of this funding, when we did the evaluation, there were 30 community coalitions, or HMPs, that covered the state of Maine. And they're funded to implement community-based interventions to prevent tobacco use and prevent obesity. And so, just like most evaluators, we have an HMP initiative, a logic model. We also have some intervention-specific logic models. And this is just sort of an abridged, higher view of it. By and large, we're hoping that the HMP initiative will have contribute to some policy and environmental changes, and those will contribute to knowledge, improvements in knowledge, intentions, social norms, attitudes, and beliefs. And those, of course, will then lead to healthier behaviors. And so, in beginning the evaluation, we had sort of some generic evaluation questions. And then for this specific evaluation, we focused it in on tobacco, youth tobacco prevention. Actually, we started off as tobacco prevention. And, you know, the standard questions of how well has the initiative met its objectives, and then has there been an improvement in targeted policies, environments, social norms, etc. And in this case, we were looking specifically at tobacco prevention. So we've done some process and outcome evaluations, and we knew that Maine was going in the right direction. We were seeing an increase in tobacco-free policies. We were seeing an improvement in the social norms. We were even seeing improvements in the behaviors. But what we wanted to find out is, what was the contribution of the HMP initiative on those improvements? And so this is our impact evaluation, and what I'll be speaking about this afternoon. So after we had our evaluation questions, we specifically had to draft our hypotheses or develop our hypotheses. And ours is that in areas served by the Healthy Maine Partnerships with more intensive focus on youth tobacco prevention, students will report a less conducive retail and school environment and more anti-tobacco smoking norms and beliefs, and ultimately less smoking behavior and exposure. And also that the youth will be less likely to smoke, less likely to be exposed to secondhand smoke, and less likely to smoke before the age of 13 if those environments, social norms, and beliefs are more anti-tobacco. So what we started to do was to test the association between implementation and outcomes. And the implementation was a little bit challenging to operationalize, just because if any of you have worked with community coalitions, at least in Maine, we allowed them to work on multiple strategies, and so we had to try to choose some strategies that had been implemented with sufficient sort of a big enough implementation dose so that we could expect to see an impact. We also had to pick strategies that had been done over the four-year period of time. And so there were some challenges, but we ultimately chose six strategies, and we focused in on youth in particular. And those six strategies were those that focused on policy change in the school, in the town, like tobacco-free rec policies, and we also focused on a youth leadership and engagement strategy that was to build the skills around youth, around advocacy. And so there was we were able to collect data in Maine from something called KIT. It's the Knowledge Information Transfer System, and the Healthy Maine Partnerships implement their progress toward these strategies into this web-based monitoring tool. And so we were able to find out how many were working on these various six strategies. And there was a natural divide between those that we considered high intensity focus around youth tobacco prevention and low intensity. And so there were 18 that the high intensity was defined as doing 10 or more, implementing 10 or more of these youth strategies. And the low intensity focus was less than 10. And so we had 18 HMPs in one group and 12 in the low intensity focus group. So that was the implementation part of it. Now these are the mediators, and most of the variables that we were able to look at came from what we call in Maine MIAS. It's our Maine Integrated Youth Health Survey from 2011. And that survey is similar everyone else's YRBS, but we also have some additional state-specific tobacco questions in there for youth, as well as obesity and substance abuse and many others. And so it wasn't always a perfect match between the strategy and these existing data sources, but we were able to find some variables, such as for the retail environment, whether they saw tobacco ads, for the school, whether they were taught in class about the dangers of tobacco use, social norms, if their parents feel it's wrong for them to smoke, etc. And one of the environmental and policy change variables came from something that the HMP evaluation team administers, and it's called the Environmental Indicator Survey. So we were able to survey all the municipalities in Maine to find out if they had tobacco-free rec policies. And the outcomes also came from the MIAS survey. And there are your typical measures: smoking frequency, the amount, age of first cigarette, exposure to smoke, was whether they've been in a room with somebody who had been smoking within the past week. And so we were able to get very specific about the mediators and the outcomes that we were looking at. And we looked to see if there were some differences in 2006 that were pre-existing before we then looked at our two group differences. And I just wanted to mention that our MIAS survey was new in 2009, and we wanted to look at prior to this funding cycle, which was 2007. And that survey was a different survey with different sampling methodology. So we weren't able to control for that, but I do know which ones had pre-existing higher levels than others. So now we're into the findings. And in 2011, where HMPs had a higher intensity youth tobacco prevention focus, there was a less conducive retail environment, and fewer youth said they saw tobacco ads between in the high intensity area compared to the low intensity area, and fewer youth said it was very easy to get cigarettes if they wanted to. And these are differences that were not found in 2006, so we can be pretty sure that the HMPs did contribute to some of these differences. We also looked at the social norms, and in the high intensity group, social norms were more tobacco free. More said parents felt it would be very wrong for them to smoke, and more said that none of their friends would smoke. But some of these differences did exist in 2006. Okay, and then we also looked at perceived risk, and Moore said that there is a great risk of harm if they smoke one or more packs per day. And again, so this is showing that things are going in the right direction, but the pre-existing conditions, not the pre-existing conditions, the differences that we saw in 2006 make it difficult to say without a doubt that the HMP initiative contributed to these improvements. So the one improvement that stood out, and there was no difference in 2006, was around the retail environment. And among those HMPs, the students living in the HMP areas where there was a higher intensity focus on youth tobacco prevention efforts, there was a more favorable or less conducive environment to tobacco sales. So our next plan is to do a structural equation model where we can put in these different variables, the town environment, the retail environment, the school environment, social norms, along with the HMP implementation, and see which of these may contribute more to the behavior that we're looking to see, which is reduced tobacco use, reduced exposure. And I finished ahead of time. So if anybody has any questions, I can certainly take them now.
How many cases did you have in the survey?
How many what?
Cases.
Good question. Our Maya survey is a very large sample. I want to say there's about 70,000. Now, that it does bring up a good question, though. We have four different modules in Maine, and so depending on which module the question is asked, that sample size can get very small very fast. So that was part of the challenge, is we tried to use only those questions that were in every module. So one of our modules is just the YRBS questions. Another module will ask some state-specific questions, etc. So the Maya survey is asked every 2 years, just like YRBS. And so in 2009 and 2011, and 2009 was the first year that we did use that new survey with a different survey methodology.
Okay.